Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve for Tuesday's show is Australian Open tennis. American star Serena Williams is now only two victories away from her record-tying 24th major singles title. Serena defeated Romania's Simona Halep in straight sets Tuesday, 6-3 and 6-3. Serena, how did you feel about your performance?
Yeah, I feel pretty good with that performance. And I feel like I needed to have a good performance, obviously, today, especially after my last match against her. So it was really important to try to play well today.
Serena, you're now 39 years old. How do you feel physically?
I feel good. I feel like, you know, I'm here and I'm happy to be here. And I got to keep going. And, you know, that's obviously the goal. And obviously I have an incredible opponent to play. So it'd be nice to hopefully keep raising the level of my game. I'm going to have to.
In the semifinals, the incredible opponent Serena Williams will play is Japanese star Naomi Osaka, who lifted the Australian Open trophy in 2019. And Serena sounds pretty happy to once again reach the Final Four at the Australian Open, a tournament she has won seven times.
It's more of a semifinal for me. It's like, first of all, I'm in the semifinal. It's pretty awesome. So that's exciting. And then it doesn't matter who I'm playing really in the semifinal. It's a semifinal of a Grand Slam, and no one gets there by chance, so I gotta be ready.
For her part, Naomi Osaka reached the semifinals Tuesday by beating Shay Su Wei from Chinese Taipei 6-2 and 6-2. Osaka described Shay Su Wei as a tricky player.
I feel like every time I play her, it's really challenging because I never know exactly what she's going to do with the ball, but I think today I just really focused on my game plan, and I think it was kind of very clear what I felt I had to do.
Naomi Osaka also says she feels good about her game right now.
I think my confidence was raised after I played Muguruza the other day, just because she's such a quality opponent, and I was really, like, my back was against the wall, and somehow I still had opportunities. So in that way, I wouldn't really say it's confidence, but more like I'm at ease with how my game is right now.
And Naomi Osaka now prepares for a big semifinal against Serena Williams.
She's Serena, someone that I feel really intimidated when I see her on the other side of the court.
Meanwhile, one of the surprise packages at the 2021 Australian Open is 27-year-old Russian tennis player Aslan Karatsev. At 114, he is the lowest-ranked man to reach the semifinals at the Australian Open since American Patrick McEnroe, who also was 114 in 1991. Karatsev, by the way, is also the first qualifier to reach the semifinals in his debut at the tournament. And he credits good team support.
I think that the key is to find the right team, the right coach that I found. I was really lucky to find him, and we was just met in one tournament. I played Futures, and we was saying, like, okay, let's try to work together. And it's really, I think it's a big luck that we start to work together and I have a good team around me.
That's Russian tennis player Aslan Karatsev speaking in Melbourne at the Australian Open. I'm VOA's Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
In European club football, reigning Premier League champion Liverpool will play Leipzig Tuesday evening in a first leg round of 16 UEFA Champions League match. The game will take place on neutral ground in Budapest, Hungary, because of coronavirus travel restrictions to Germany. VOA's Gwen Uden has a preview for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The reigning European champions have lost three consecutive Premier League matches and are currently in fourth place, 13 points behind leaders Manchester City. And last week, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp conceded the gap is just too wide to defend the title. On Monday, Klopp held a news conference the day before his Champions League match, where he dismissed rumors that he's walking away from the club and added he sees the current slump as an interesting challenge and a problem he's determined to solve.
A lot of people obviously are not happy with the results. I get that, but I'm responsible for that 100%. But we played still some pretty good stuff, and we should not. You can forget that. We cannot, because that's the start for changing the things. That you change a situation like we are in with bad football, never heard about. Yeah, result. You need a result. But we are Liverpool. We cannot sit back and then everybody. We wait for some other teams 60 minutes until they come over the halfway line. So we have to be dominant. We have to play football. We do that. So massive challenge. I'm ready. The boys are ready. And we give our absolutely everything to sort it.
And while Klopp has repeatedly taken sole responsibility for this season's slump, Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson says the fault lies squarely on the team's shoulders.
Full responsibility. I know the manager tries to protect us as much as possible in the press, but for players, we know that it's down to us to change the situation that we're in, and we take full responsibility on results and performances. So it's down to us to go out there, keep working hard, keep fighting to try and change this tough period that we've been going through over the last few weeks. Hopefully we can do that starting tomorrow.
Liverpool were winners in the Champions League two seasons ago and are the slight favorites going into the first leg of their knockout tie against RB Leipzig. Meanwhile, the German side reached the Champions League semifinals last year and are on a four-game winning streak in the Bundesliga. But ahead of his departure for Budapest, head coach Julian Nagelsmann said his side must be on top of their game against the current Premier League champions.
We know that Liverpool is still a very good team with a lot of world-class players, with a good idea, with a good counter-pressing, with good movements behind the defense line. If they have space and you have no pressure on the ball, then it's always difficult to defend, especially the wing forwards who have a good timing to run deep. So I think the results in the Premier League didn't account for the Champions League. It's a new competition. They just can win a title in the Champions League, and I think they will be 100% focused for the game tomorrow. And then we try to fight and try to win the game.
RB Leipzig and Liverpool are set to fight for the win in the first leg of round 16 in the Champions League on Tuesday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sporty greetings. This is Amina Sanizangwandara, head of Women Football, Nigeria Football Federation. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Former Manchester United manager Alex Ferguson and the Premier League club's all-time top scorer, Wayne Rooney, recently praised Marcus Rashford for the striker's role in tackling child food poverty in England amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The 23-year-old Rashford has been at the forefront of a campaign to end child food poverty. He successfully lobbied the British government to continue providing free school meals during the holidays. The Football Writers Association named Rashford the winner of its annual Tribute Award. Alex Ferguson also paid tribute at the ceremony. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Ferguson's comments.
I'd like to congratulate Marcus on his achievement in his presentation tonight. Knowing him since we were a kid at 7 years of age and seeing him develop through the ranks at Manchester United into a truly wonderful person. Apart from his football life, what he's achieved in the last few months is quite astonishing. How he's helped the people in need is a truly amazing achievement. And I'd like to congratulate him on that. He's shown to young people in particular there is a different way of dealing with life. He's shown great humility. He's shown courage to do what he did. And so this achievement is well deserved and he should be recognized in what he's done. So Marcus, well done. Fantastic achievement.
We heard Alex Ferguson say he's known Marcus Rashford since he was 7 years old. Rashford joined the Man U Academy at that age, and he says Ferguson has always supported his football career.
Yeah, he's always, you know, from the beginning, really, he's backed me with what I'm doing. And probably when other people in sports, they was telling me, you know, not to do it, focus on football, blah, blah, blah. He said if I believed in it and I believe it's the right thing to do, then he's behind it. And yeah, them words from him, it's an amazing feeling to hear that.
Man U's all-time leading scorer with 183 goals in the Premier League is Wayne Rooney. The 35-year-old Rooney has been a player manager recently for the English club Derby County, and he also praised Rashford for his humanitarian efforts.
The work he's doing is unbelievable to challenge the government. It's a big issue, you know, it's a tough time for everyone, so for him to get that campaign up and running and the free meals, the meals for the children, is massive, and it's needed that backing, someone like Marcus Rashford to back that and get behind it and make sure that the kids know that whatever happens, they won't go hungry. So it's incredible, really, and I think it's a huge achievement from him. And as a player, he's a great player. He's got a real bright future, of course, and it's great to see him scoring more goals now. And he will be a massive player for Manchester United and England over the next 10 years. So it's good to see him developing. And I could see him being the next England number 9 in a few years.
For his part, Marcus Rashford says there's still a lot of work to be done to end child food poverty in England.
That's a big issue for me and my team that are working on it. The amount of numbers that still don't have the support that they need. We know we've managed to reach a lot more people that weren't getting reached, but there's still people out there that are really struggling. And if we can make a 5-10% difference to every single one of their lives, then it puts everyone at a good baseline, and then we can start to work on foundations for the future. But until everyone's on the same playing field, it's difficult to start jumping ahead and asking for things that that are necessary, but the timing would be wrong. So we need to make sure everyone's on the same level first, and then we can start to improve that level until they're where they belong.
That's England and Manchester United football star Marcus Rashford. Rashford has scored 8 goals so far this Premier League season for Man U. Topping the Premier League scoring charts is Liverpool and Egypt star Mohamed Salah. He has 17 goals this season.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndumbulu and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African football beat, Morocco won its second consecutive African Nations Championship, or CHAN title, recently in Cameroon. Football commentators praised the overall performance of teams from East Africa at the CHAN tournament, which featured African players who ply their trade in their domestic leagues. Magume Davis Rakowinge filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
East Africa was represented by Uganda, Tanzania, and Rwanda. The two East Africans, Rwanda and Uganda, were pulled in the same Group C alongside defending champions and eventual winners, Morocco, while Tanzania was in Group D that had Guinea, Zambia, and Namibia. Tanzania was horribly eliminated at group stages after managing a win and a draw to amass 4 points, just 1 point less than Guinea and Zambia in Group D, while Rwanda held eventual winners Morocco 0-0, drew against rivals Uganda, and beat Togo 3-2 to qualify for their second quarterfinal at the CHAN tournament. James Munyaneza, a Rwandan sports analyst, describes Rwanda's performance against Togo as the highlight of the tournament.
They didn't lose any of those two first matches. And then they went ahead and actually defeated the other opponent, Togo. Here Rwanda comes and they falls behind first, then he recovers, scores, then goes behind again, then again recovers, and then go on to win the game 3-2. That was a fantastic outcome. But overall, the performance in that game was really incredible. The boys were confident. They played aggressive attacking football from the start to the end.
Tanzanian reporter Daniel Mulimuka was equally impressed by the Mavubi exploits at the tournament.
I expected Uganda to do more, more so because of the reputation they have in African football. Their 5-2 defeat against Morocco was even worse. They failed to progress to another stage. Rwanda surprised me a little bit. I should say they were like the dark horses of the tournament. They were able to break the barrier and reach the quarterfinals. And Tanzania had not a very good performance, but not very bad performance, because they were an inch close to going or progressing to the knockout stage.
Ahmed Hussein, the spokesperson of Federation for Uganda Football Associations, also praises the level of competition at the tournament.
The way the teams organized themselves for the tournament, the kind of football that was played. And when you look at a team like Morocco, I think they've improved from what they achieved in 2018. They have defended the title, and the kind of football showed on the pitch shows you exactly how much they prepared for this tournament. Yes, there are countries like Uganda. We had almost a one-month preparation. We had high hopes of getting out of the group stages, but this didn't happen. But we lost to eventual champions, and that is Morocco.
All the pundits here praise hosts Cameroon for the good job done. Patrick Anyomozi is the head of Uganda Sports Press Association.
It was important in terms of giving hope to the football fraternity across the continent, because most of the activities were halted because of the pandemic, and they returned slowly in a number of countries. For some other countries, it's been hard enough for them too. So it's a ray of hope for the footballers across the continent that if competitions can be played at such a high level, and then there's hope for the game as Africa, most parts of Africa, wait for the COVID-19 vaccination. And it should be a good focus point, especially going into the qualifiers, which are also being played under totally different circumstances. And that's qualifiers for both the Africa Cup of Nations and the 2022 World Cup. It was a good tournament, a ray of hope for football.
Indeed, the tournament had outstanding performers from East Africa, with Rwanda defender Fitina Ombolenga being selected in the tournament's first 11, and impressive Ugandan midfielder Saidi Chayune, Uganda's best performer at the tournament, getting a contract to Sudanese giants El Melik after his remarkable two long-range goals against Togo and Morocco. For the Sunday Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Thanks, Mugume. Meanwhile, the Atlas Lions of Morocco get a Sunny Side of Sports salute for their trophy-winning Chan performance. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, African football analyst Sammy Wajia said the Moroccans were clearly the best team in Cameroon.
Well, you have to say Morocco are deserved champions of the African Nations Championships for 2020, even though the competition was played in 2021, obviously, no thanks to the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic. Morocco were absolutely peerless in the tournament. In the group stages, they won all but one of their games. The only blemish they had was during their second game against Rwanda. They just about failed to get a win. They dominated that game, but it finished 0-0. The other two games in the group against Togo, they won by a goal to nil, and they also won in emphatic fashion against Uganda by 5-2 in their decisive and last preliminary game. And I think that's where the Moroccans clicked into gear. In the quarterfinal, they faced the Chipolopolo of Zambia. They won that one quite easily by 3-1. And what a matchup in the semifinals. They were up against the host nation, Cameroon. It was pretty much the final against the final. But Morocco sent a statement to the rest of the continent. It was a statement of intent. And they won that game by 4-0 in Yimbe on the 3rd of this month. So it was pretty much expected that they were going to win that final match against Mali in Yaoundé. They won it by 2-0. So, like I said, I mean, the results of Morocco showed that they were by far and away the best team, the most complete team in the tournament, and they've retained their title. I don't think anyone can begrudge them or say they do not deserve that title.
Four Moroccan clubs made it to the semi-finals of the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup last year. Is this victory a sign of dominance of North African teams in the continent?
Yeah, four clubs, like you said, reached the semi-finals of the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup semi-finals last year. And to be honest, I think that's a sign of the dominance that Moroccan football has as far as African football is concerned. And they've carried that dominance to the season as well. Three clubs from Morocco have reached the latest stages of the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup. In the CAF Champions League, which is at the group stages at the moment, one Moroccan club has reached that stage, Wydad Athletic Casablanca. This is a club with great pedigree as far as African football is concerned. And you have to say that they are one of the two favorites to progress to the next stage of the competition, because when you look at the clubs that they will face in the group, Horoya from Guinea, Petro de Luanda from Angola, and the South African club Kaizer Chiefs, you have to say Wydad are favorites not just to qualify, but to qualify as winners of that particular group. And talking about Moroccan clubs dominating on the African continent, two Moroccan clubs have reached the playoff round of the CAF Confederation Cup. They are Tihad Athletic Sports to Casablanca, who I see as a rising sports on the continent. And there's also another club from Morocco doing wonderful things as far as the CAF Confederation Cup is concerned. They've also, just like the club I mentioned earlier, reached the playoff stage of the competition. I'm talking about none other than Raja Athletic de Casablanca, a side that needs absolutely no introduction as far as African football is concerned. So yes, Moroccan clubs are doing extremely well on the continent, and you have to say props to them. They are certainly one of the dominant forces as far as African football is concerned.
It's been reported that some players who participated in this edition of CHAN have been picked by European clubs. What's your take on this move?
The news has been all over the place that some players that participated with their respective countries at the African Nations Championships have gotten deals to play with European clubs. I think this is absolutely fantastic. It's what it is. We want African football to thrive. We want the best players from Africa playing on the continent. But when you look at the economic situation, and realistically speaking, come on, most African, if not all African players currently doing the business, playing their trade on the continent, will want to at some stage play in Europe, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, players from sub-Saharan Africa. So it's really good news, I'll say, that players who participated and just concluded CHAN have gotten a chance to strut their stuff abroad, especially in Europe. And let us also not forget that the African Nations Championship from inception is a tournament that exclusively features players who are active in the national championships and qualify to play in the ongoing season. Expatriate players, regardless of where they play, even in Africa, are not qualified to take part in the tournament. And if you ask many players, especially those in sub-Saharan Africa and some in North Africa, what their long and short-term ambitions are from this perspective, they will all tell you that they want to go to Europe. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is. The fact that some African players have still deals to play abroad is very positive news indeed.
That's African football analyst Sammy Wajinya. And Sammy spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sammy Wajinya, Port Harcourt-based sports analyst. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. And interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Well, the hottest team in the National Basketball Association right now is the Utah Jazz. Utah won its eighth consecutive game Monday night, beating the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. The AP's Jim Bernard reports.
The Utah Jazz ran their win streak to eight games with a 134-123 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. Jordan Clarkson came off the bench to lead the Jazz in scoring with 40 points while hitting 8 three-point field goals.
And that's what it is at the end of the day. I'm just coming in doing what coach is telling me to do and what my teammates trust me to do. And, you know, that's take shots and try to make plays.
Donovan Mitchell scored 24 points and Joe Ingles added 20 as the Jazz now have won 19 of their last 20 contests. The 76ers, playing without leading scorer and rebounder Joel Embiid due to back tightness, got a career-high 24 points plus 12 assists and 9 rebounds from Ben Simmons.
Defensively, I think we just got to be better. We got to communicate more. We got to play as a unit and stick to who we are. You know, at times we've shown it in the past three games, but we haven't stuck with it, you know, the whole game.
I'm Jim Bernard.
Up the February 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.